to Let's Get Our Shit Together and welcome to 2019.
Woo!
We are a queer women of color debrief on the latest in queer lady and POC representation in television and film. I'm Aphrodite.
And I'm Amira.
And this is our first podcast episode of 2019.
So exciting.
We've decided to start off with a review of all the great queer women of color shippy news of 2018. I'm really sad that we're going to lose hashtag 2018.
Yeah, but 2019 is now being called 20 by teen.
That's so cute, but it's still not as punny. It's not as punny.
I know. Yeah, it doesn't roll off quite as well, but you know.
Oh, no. You know what? Yes, we have 2018. Like, we should let the bisexual community take over.
I'm happy if they're happy, frankly.
Yeah. We're going to be dishing about all the things that have happened over the course of the year. Amir, I know you wanted to get us started with some events, world politics, news, things that have happened that are relevant to queer people and queer visibility.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the beginning of the year, and mind you, this, like, when I was doing the research for this review, I was like, oh my God, 1 year ago seems like 10 years ago. When I was like looking up the events that happened, I was like, this is crazy. This all happened last year. So in the wake of the devastating Parkland school shooting, you know, out of the ashes emerged this wonderful activist icon hero, Emma Gonzalez. She is openly bisexual. She has this adorable buzz cut. She is just like amazing and fearless and outspoken. And I actually got for Christmas a deck of woman cards. I don't know if you've seen those, but they're like playing cards with, like, you know, feminist icons and stuff on them. And she's on one of the cards.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's great.
Like, obviously, anyway. She's a high school student, but she is like massive queer crush material. Like, if I was at her high school, I would be lusting after her.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Baby gay me would have been like, Emma, please. Just give me the time of day. but yeah, she's stood up to like so much, you know, this past year and had like, you know, even politicians attacking her for her bravery. And it's like, nothing brings her down. She's amazing.
I'm just thinking about her one speech where she's like, she did not speak for the full duration of how long the shooting took place and just cried on camera, and how like compelling that was to watch.
So
like, I've
powerful.
Got chills just like rethinking it.
And then shortly after that, we had a record number of out athletes at the Winter Olympics. I'm not going to list them all off, but we had 14 out athletes this year. And I believe that's twice as many as we had at the last Winter Olympics. That was pretty cool. I just remember, you know, the queer internet world being really excited about all the out athletes. In other good world news, India in September decriminalized homosexuality. This is like a really, really big
finally!
Step.
Finally!
Yeah, yeah. There are a lot of other countries that have it criminalized to various degrees. So this was a really, really promising step in a country where it's so deeply stigmatized. Wonderful. In the November elections, more than 150 LGBTQ candidates won their races.
Wow. When you say that, like, I guess I knew that there were a lot of them. I just didn't think we broke triple digits.
Yeah. I mean, when you go, you know, at all the levels,
local levels,
government, state government, federal. I mean, it was like amazing, amazing. Shattered tons of records, I'm sure. I just want to note that one of my favorites is Charisse Davids, who took out the incumbent GOP in Kansas. She is gay, she is Native American, and she is an MMA fighter. And oh my God, Aphrodite, have you seen her biceps?
No, I'm Googling it right now.
Oh my God, there's a picture of her posing. That's like the picture that's going all around, like, you know, kind of like a Rosie the Riveter style.
Oh wait, no,
she
I've definitely seen that.
Ripped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's astounding. Arm goals to the max. I'm just, you know, I'm hypnotized by her arms.
Oh my God, power queer.
And then lastly, I just want to mention, this is like a much smaller news story, but I thought it was really significant. Also in November, Scotland, I guess, passed some sort of referendum. Now they require LGBTQ education in all of their schools' curriculum, which is astounding to me because I feel like that's something that I've always wanted and hoped for, but I never really thought that I would see a country require it like nationwide in my lifetime.
Wow. Well, California requires it now, right?
Yeah. I mean, California is land of hippies. Yeah. So of course.
The land of hippies, that passed Proposition 8, let's not forget.
Yeah.
I'm still bitter at my home state. Still bitter. Still not over it.
It's one of those weird, like, mixed states. You know, the liberals are really loud, but so we forget about the conservatives. But anyway, yeah, I mean, California as a state has passed some very liberal laws and proposals, but to see a country, especially one that's, like, very closely related to
the church,
Christianity, I feel, yeah, they're really, like, steeped deeply in the church. So, and the church actually, like, signed off on it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
In the pop culture world, we had Klexicon in April. And honestly, we had, like, this podcast really, I think, started at Klexicon.
Absolutely.
Because it was there that we met our friend Aaron, who leads the Ship It Real Good podcast, invited us to guest on her podcast. And that's what gave us the idea to start our own.
Yep.
So Klexicon was amazing. We further cemented our fangirl BFF relationship. And like all the pop culture things happened there too. But music-wise, a lot of things happened this year too. Like 2018 was coined by Hayley Kiyoko. Like it really started with her, and her album came out in March. And then she and Kehlani did that music video, the What I Need music video.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The one everyone was drooling over.
Oh my God. I rewatched that a bajillion times. A bajillion times. Like I wasn't a fan of Kehlani's before, but I was a follower of Hayley Kiyoko. But like once you put the two of them together, I was like, oh my God. Huh! Like the gif of Kehlani running towards Hayley at the end of that music video and then them just kissing and like falling ground. Oh my God. Just,
I have a feeling that video is what you see every time you close your eyes. Am I wrong? Just every time you go to bed, like, at night, it just repeat.
I'm like, I suddenly got very hot. I'm like just talking about this. Like I'm fanning myself. Like I had to take my shirt off. Just really hot.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Really sexy music video. And like, as if it couldn't get better, it did. Mm. Janelle Monáe, Dirty Computer, and Pink. And
Pink.
Make Me Feel, all this like hot music. And then Tessa Thompson throughout the entirety of the emotion picture, Dirty Computer. Did I tell you the first time I watched Dirty Computer in full, I burst out into tears of joy at the end?
I am not surprised. And also, I do think that you told me that, but I feel like just whenever you're presented with something so unabashedly, unapologetically, emotionally queer, you cry.
Yeah, it was, I felt so moved by that because it was a fake out. First of all, it was like San Junipero Black Mirror vibes, plus like also a super happy ending. So it was already going to get that kind of response. It was going to get a San Junipero level response from me. But like her and Tessa Thompson, like they're private about their private lives. We get it. But they also both came out and that was amazing separately. Whether they're together or not, I hope that they are.
I thought they confirmed that they were together. I thought it was like, you know.
I think they confirmed that they're special to each other. And
okay.
And then they both confirmed that they're private about their private lives. That's
yeah. I think that's like they're special lady friends. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, whatever the nature of their relationship is, I would like to get in on that. And I met Janelle Monáe. I went to her, you know, pop up in Detroit, and like it was all queers at her show the next night, like all Black queers. Plus me and two other Asian queers.
Yeah, I remember when you sent me that video of you talking, you were getting something signed, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I made it onto her Instagram story. That was so cool.
Just crazy. Crazy.
I know. Some amazing stuff. And Shea Diamond, who wrote an album while she was in a men's prison, released an album called Seen It All. Back in June. And so I'm excited to give this a listen. I still haven't, but I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I came across that when I was doing the, you know, what gay shit happened in 2018 research. And I was surprised and kind of like, I mean, not totally surprised. How often do Black trans women make it big in the media? But, you know, I was like sad to see that wasn't bigger on my radar, because I'm always looking for more queer voices and queer music. So yeah, definitely want to listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess it also goes to show, I think, all the things that have happened, not just in like pop culture, but in world politics, like it goes to show like both queer brilliance and queer resilience. Both of these Absolutely. Things, queer people of color have just like come through all the way. And I'm like, yes, these are my people. And seeing them do all these amazing things, changing culture, changing history. We are a proud race of people.
We are.
Yeah. And then, of course, our first podcast episode mm-hmm. was in June of this year.
Yes.
So, yeah, we
made our own pop culture chart.
Oh, we did. We are a pop culture moment.
Yeah. And I do want to take a moment just to thank everyone who's been listening to our podcast. I mean, our fans, however many there are of you, you mean a lot to us. We love looking and seeing how many listens we get every week. And, you know, we're doing this largely for ourselves. We enjoy talking about these things. We would probably be having these conversations on a semi-regular basis anyway, but it's just, you know, something about like creating a presentation of entertainment for other people like us to listen to and enjoy that just, it's something special. So.
Aww. And, you know, I also want to like extend that thank you and say that this has been a form of therapy for me. Mm-hmm. Like 2018 was a really shitty year for me. You know, like I dealt with some heartbreak and my best friend died. And like mm-hmm. I really needed, like, fandom brings me joy. Being a queer in fandom brings me joy. And like being able to talk about it with you, my best friend, that also Aww. Brings me joy. And then also kind of, you know, being able to invest in our friendship. We're in a long distance friendship.
It's
and
true.
Yeah. Having and being able to do this podcast with you and to put something out there into the world for other people to maybe get something out of, like maybe this is a kind of, maybe this podcast can help you. I hope it's helping you as much as it's helping me, but probably not because it's helping me a lot.
setting the bar pretty high.
Yeah. This has like definitely been like one of the more meaningful things that I participated in 2018. So yeah. Glad we got to share it with you, our listeners. Back to our recap of things that have happened. Let's get started with what happened on TV.
Okay, yeah. For some reason, I didn't even realize this, but Black Lightning, the first season, actually premiered in January of 2018. And so both seasons aired in 2018 in their entirety. Mm-hmm. Or no, sorry, season two is still
yes
on right now.
Yeah, and I remember because the Black Lightning fandom was really small by the time mm-hmm. we showed up to Klexicon.
That's right.
Yeah, there just wasn't a whole lot of shipper material. And now we have a little more shipper material. Both Chantel Tui and Nafisa Williams are going to be at Klexicon in 2019 this year. But yeah, Black Lightning premiered, so we got our first Black lesbian superhero as part of Oof. The CW DC lineup. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing. Although, as you've heard us talk about on this podcast, we've had a lot of mixed feelings about season two.
We're keeping our hopes up. Yes, I am, at least. Yeah. I want the show to continue. I just hope that, you know, they improve on a few things in the writing room.
Obviously, One Day at a Time premiered season two in January of 2018. Like, oh, wow, a year ago.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And that season, honestly, was like, it really hit home for me. I felt like every single episode, I was laughing, I was crying. I mean, they took us through some shit, man. Like, those writers, I really applaud them. I think that they're doing a fantastic job. And I love that Elena, our lesbian of color character, got a girlfriend who identifies as a girlfriend, even though they use gender-neutral pronouns.
Yeah.
Their name is Sid.
Yeah, Elena okay. and Sid, super cute. Like,
Very
super
cute.
Dorky. Also, both of them are fangirls.
Yes.
Yeah, they're just, like, so cute. I'm like, oh, my God. What an OTP. Yeah.
I know. It's great. It's like, it's us. We're just watching us on TV.
Adorable. And season two, honestly, I thought season one was great. But season two, One Day at a Time, blew season one out of the water.
Right?
Like, it was,
right?
It was even better, even more moving, even queerer, even more feminist, even more amazing, and even more like even richer, I think, as a story about an immigrant family.
Yeah, they're not afraid to have like those really raw moments that just like, you know, like I said, it really hits home. I mean, some of it is just so painfully relatable. And I was thinking specifically about that episode about depression. And I just feel like, oh, my God, they just the way they showed it, I've never seen something so accurate, something that I could really like look at and be like, oh my God, like I feel it. I feel that mm-hmm. that was me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So we can look forward to season 3 dropping on Netflix on Woo! February 8th. Cannot come soon enough. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
And then not long after that, this was like right before Klexicon, a show called Killing Eve premiered. And I don't know, did you watch the Golden Globes the other night?
I did not. Okay. I meant to watch the highlights today, but I didn't watch it.
So I watched the Golden Globes. I love Sandra Oh. And I've been putting off watching Killing Eve because I heard it was kind of violent. And then I had friends all watch through the season and then tell me, oh, it's not that violent. I mean, there's blood and like there are brutal deaths, but you don't really, but a lot of that happens off screen. Mm. So I just started that tonight, actually. I watched the first episode of wow. Killing Eve tonight and I'm eager to get through the rest of it. But I have to pace myself and like not get too spooked. I hear it's campy and so maybe that'll help me deal with the murdery aspects of the show.
But were you referring in the beginning to their dresses at the Golden Globes?
What do you mean?
Because showed up. Yeah. Is that what you're going to talk about?
No, I wasn't. What do you mean?
The two actresses, Sandra Oh, and I'm sorry, I don't know who plays the other woman, but they showed up. Sandra Oh was wearing a white dress and the other was wearing black, like good and evil. It was just like this great, beautiful pairing of the red carpet. I saw pictures of it and people were freaking out. And oh my God. So
Jodie Comer. That's the Jodie actress who plays Villanelle.
Jodie something. And I was like, I'm going to say the wrong Jodie. Yeah, so I haven't also watched that show because I was waiting for someone to tell me if it's actually queer or queer baiting. And regardless of queer content, if it's, you know, just something. Because I feel like I just see queer people going crazy about the queerness of it. And I'm like, look, if I watch this excited about queer content and there's no queer content, I'm going to be really bummed out. So if you tell me there's no queer content, but it's really good anyway, that's fine. Okay. You know what I mean?
I would say that it falls into that category because it's just like intensely heavy subtext. And we know that at least Villanelle is queer.
Okay. Okay.
But are they a ship? It's complicated.
Well, yeah. That's fine. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll
then,
take it.
Of course, Vita premiered in May of 2018 as well. And Vita was, wow, 6 episodes. Each episode's only half an hour long, but do they pack in the drama? Vita was also the show where we got Latinx, like, masculine of center character in Eddie. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that was amazing, too. And we obviously did the recap of Vita Season 1 on the Ship It Real Good podcast with Aaron. But we are excited for Season 2.
Yeah, I'm very excited for Season 2 and to see where these characters go. So, like you said, season 1 was only 6 episodes, but they actually ordered 10 for season 2. So
thank God, yes.
I'm excited, yeah, because I feel like they're really going to expand on the story. And, you know, I think 6 episodes is a good way to sort of ease people into this world and these characters. You know, it's not too much. But, yeah, I mean, they left us hungry for more, for sure. So there's no current release date for it, but people are guessing maybe around May or July.
Yeah, and, like, Vita is a show that feels as if the people both in front of the screen and behind the screen are part of the community. And I think that's what's like what distinguishes it from some of the other shows that we've like watched, where like who's in the writer's room, who's directing these episodes, you know, who's in the cast, who are these other characters who are members of the community? Do they feel like they're like us or well, not like us, because neither one of us is Latinx, but but does it feel authentic? And it definitely does.
I think they wrote these characters in a very like complex and layered way that feels real and not like overly complicated. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, some writers make that mistake of just kind of going too far, but this is like, you know, you see a real growth in character development and just real people, you know. It seems like it's about real people.
I never knew I was gonna proselytize stars to all my friends, but I was literally like texting friends, messaging them on Facebook, commenting on their Facebook posts, saying, hey, have you like watched Vita? You should really get Stars. They have a 7-day free trial. You should do it now. Can you please? And then like texting my friends like, hey, can you please watch this and then tell me about it? Like I want to like talk to you about this show. I would run into friends and then nag them. I'm like one of those awful people who tried to like give you a Bible. Do you know what I'm talking about?
We're like, just spreading the gospel.
I know. I'm like,
cute here, women of color, you know.
Like, and please take this Bible. Just take it. It's free. It's yours. Have it. Have this Bible. Come and talk to me after you've read it. Like, you know?
Oh my God. You know, I don't think it's that bad, but then again, I feel like I'm the same way, so I'm a bit biased.
I was like spreading the word as much as possible about Vita because we weren't sure if it was going to get renewed for season two at the time.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when it was announced, I remember, oh my God, I was thrilled. I mean, because I feel like it was announced so quickly. They mm-hmm. decided so soon after it aired that it would yeah. get renewed for a second season.
Yeah. Another show that got saved from cancellation.
Whew, thank God.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We are going to get that sixth season on NBC.
Can we take a moment and just one more time, could I hear you thank me for introducing you to that show? I just... I need the praise. I need the affirmation.
Okay,
come
yes.
on. Come
Honestly,
on.
Like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine has also been a therapy for me. Like, mm-hmm. you are just, like, lifting me up with these recommendations. All, like, the movie recommendations, the show recommendations. You always just lift me up, Amira. You're lifting me up.
That's what I try to do. That's what I strive for.
I'm savoring the remaining episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think I'm actually like all caught up, but I'm going to like probably rewatch through yeah. season 5. Thanks again for letting me borrow your Amazon Prime account.
Oh, but, no
but,
problem.
I know, but now I have Hulu, so I can watch it anytime.
True, but it's with commercials, so you're still welcome to use my Prime account if you want.
I pay for the Hulu without commercials.
Oh, damn. Okay.
I know. Well, wow. I'm splitting it with a friend.
Oh. I was like, wow, you got some money.
But anyway, well, I mean, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like, amazing show. Multiple queer people of color. We've got Captain Holt. And then, of course, we've got Rosa Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to see her at PlexiCon.
Yes, she was amazing. We got to see her at the after party.
Stephanie Beatriz. Oh, my God, your close call.
I know.
Stephanie Beatriz. Oh,
she was gracious and kind. She held my hand for a moment.
she asked for a cigarette.
Fainted. Yeah.
And you gave it to her. And we, like,
I gave her a cigarette and she held my hands and said, bless, as she took it. And I was like,
oh my God.
I've been blessed by the goddess herself. But yeah, so, I mean, Stephanie Beatriz came out as bisexual in 2016 via Twitter. And then Rosa Diaz's character came out in an episode in 2017. But in 2018, she got a love interest. Well, mm-hmm. I should say she did have a female love interest before, but we finally got a face to her love interest. Mm-hmm. And that face was Gina Rodriguez.
Oh my God, that's so hot.
And it's even hotter when you realize that it's what the fans were suggesting. And they went with it. I mean, granted, Stephanie Beatriz and Gina Rodriguez apparently are like old friends. So it wasn't like that far of a push, but like they both were like, shit, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I love shows that listen to the fans like that. And, you know, it gives that air of like not really taking themselves too seriously, but also taking the fans seriously and being like, you know what? This is what the fans want. They have good ideas. So we're going to listen to them.
Mm. Well, Gina Rodriguez is like low-key bisexual.
Low-key or high-key? No, I'm just kidding.
Low-key. In an interview, Gina Rodriguez has said she is more bisexual than the title character she plays on Jane the Virgin. I don't know what more bisexual is like. Is bisexual like a more or less than thing? Like, is it?
Yeah.
I
feel so like that, more bi- like the opposite of more bisexual would just be like asexual. You know what I mean? Not like leaning like more gay or straight. Because yeah. it's just like you're more attracted to other genders.
Right,
versus
right.
less attracted to.
Yeah. But know. That's why I said she's low-key bisexual. Because okay. I wasn't like, I don't know what more means, but maybe that's like more bisexual maybe means low-key bisexual. I don't know. Mm. But if she's bisexual, and I believe that she is, mm-hmm. like then this ship with her character and Rosa Diaz would be an intra-racial Latinx queer ship where both of the actresses are themselves queer.
And Latinx.
And Latinx, yes.
Yeah.
Which was
amazing.
What?
Yeah. Amazing.
I know.
We are truly blessed.
I know.
Yeah. I can't say enough about that show. And it returns January 10th. And so probably by the time you all listen to this podcast, it will have already aired. So
go watch it. Yes.
I mean, all of these shows are coming back. The ones that we've talked about so far are coming back pretty soon. We don't know for sure about Vita. It hasn't been announced, but, you know, like I said, they're predicting somewhere around May and between May and July. Speaking of shows that haven't been announced for their next season yet, Pose.
Oh, yes.
You enjoyed. I have did. Yet to watch.
I did. So Pose gave us some really fantastic trans women of color. Angel and Blanca were easily the more compelling characters on the show, and I loved their storylines. And they weren't even the only, they weren't the only trans women of color. The whole show is is trans women of color. But the reason why I brought up their names is because I shipped them with each other so hard. It was hard for me because I was like, I wanted our two trans women to get together. I just wanted that to happen.
Yeah. I understand. I understand. I remember you saying you were frustrated that a lot of the women were going after cis men.
Straight cis men.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. But like, are they bi? I want to know. I want to know. And they're gorgeous. And I follow the cast of Pose on Instagram. And I love seeing all their photos and like love. And I love seeing their love for each other. Mm-hmm. And that's true for like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Vita and One Day at a Time. I love seeing like actors and writers and showrunners like loving on each other, especially when their shows represent people of color or queer people of color. I think that's beautiful.
I absolutely agree. And I'm sorry to go back to shows we already talked about, but I completely forgot to mention the actresses who play Rosa Diaz and Amy Santiago, Stephanie Beatrice and Melissa Fumero, are actually going to be featured on season 3 of One Day at a Time. They posted about this a while ago. I almost forgot. And I am so excited to see what they're going to be. I think one of them is like an aunt or something. I don't know. They were kind of dropping hints about it. So Stephanie Beatrice and Isabella Gomez, who plays Elaine on One Day at a Time, met at Klexicon and became fast friends. And it kind of seems like Steph has like taken Isabella under her wing, you know, like, like, let me show you the ways of Hollywood, you know. I don't know. This is the narrative I've invented in my mind. So,
well, also, you know, like Isabella thought you were like Steph's friend. Like,
I know.
So
for one blissful moment, she came up to me at the after party and said, "Have you seen Steph?"
And you're like, "Oh no, you mean my friend Steph? No, I haven't seen her."
Just act like brilliant. I call her Steph all the time and not Stephanie Beatrice, her full name as usual, like with all celebrities.
God.
So back in the day, I watched a show called The Fosters. I know a lot of people were watching at the time because it was like, oh, this story about a family with, you know, two moms and blah, blah, blah. And it's an interracial couple. And I was like, yes, please. I love this. This sounds great. And then I slowly lost interest because I realized it was a little bit more about their shitty kids. I wasn't super into the annoying kids. I stopped watching it and it fell off my radar a bit. And then I saw that they had their series finale this past June. I didn't even realize it. Either I didn't see the news or I saw it and it seemed so unimportant to me that I forgot it. But I'm like a little bit sad, you know, I feel like I was so excited for that show when it first came out and it wasn't what I wanted it to be, but that's okay. And I know that the two daughters, like the characters who play the daughters, are getting a spinoff.
Yes. Good Trouble.
So yeah. So best of luck to them. We said goodbye to another, you know, queer woman of color ship, technically. Yeah, they're already married, but you know.
Right. I mean, The Fosters is a good example of like, there have been like specific waves of queer ships, and The Fosters comes from the previous wave. And it's sort of, it's almost fitting that The Foster says goodbye as all these other shows are now bringing queer characters and queer issues and queer women of color as characters on their shows. So yeah, like, I feel like The Fosters was important when it first came out, and we're lucky that visibility has grown since then. And now we have so many queer characters of color and queer women of color to talk about, and that we can't even, like, there are a bunch of shows I got on our list that you and I haven't even watched.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, or that only one of us has time to watch. One notable entry that I think I mentioned in a previous episode, GLOW, featured an interracial queer women of color ship, Arthi and Yolanda, except it was only really, you know, towards the end of season 2, and their ship wasn't given that much screen time. I told you about Valencia on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend getting a girlfriend, and that was really exciting for me. On Jane the Virgin, Jane Ramos, played by Rosaria Dawson, gets together with Petra, who comes out as bisexual. I ended up watching just the compilation of their scenes together. Because like I knew there was just so much drama on Jane the Virgin, it would take me too long to catch up with all the soap opera stuff. So I just wanted the good stuff with Rosaria Dawson, and that was really great. Another show that neither one of us watched, All American or Claws, even though there were black lesbians on both of those shows.
But I remember seeing stuff for All American, and it just seemed like the stories that were in the commercials that they were focusing on just didn't really seem to interest me that much. So by the time I found out that there was a Black lesbian storyline, I figured, you know, it probably wasn't like a huge focal point, although I could be gravely mistaken. I mean,
I'm fairly certain you're right. Otherwise, we would have seen way more GIFs on Tumblr.
But, you know, Tumblr loves their white queer ships, so it's possible that it's
That's
just
fair.
Not as many people are into it and telling other people to watch it. So.
Yeah. Another show that I think is worthy of mention, because it's from Desiree Akhavan, the bisexual, and she plays like a Middle Eastern bisexual. I feel like it's not quite our genre of show because it's so awkward and uncomfortable to watch. From start to finish, I was just like cringing the entire time, but it's like extremely well written. And I recommend it as a show to people I know who like to watch uncomfortable stuff. If total discomfort and awkwardness is not enjoyable for you.
Yeah, it's like, I know. It's one of those things, it's like borderline for me. Like sometimes I can handle it and other times I'm like, ooh, I need to turn this off. I need to turn it off. I can't.
Yeah, you know, for a minute I tried to watch Insecure. By the way, did you know Issa Rae came out as bisexual?
I don't think I did know that.
As I was doing the research, she came out as like liking men and women. But so I watched Insecure, and Insecure is also a show that you got to deal with so much awkward that it's difficult to watch. But I think the bisexual, Natasha had recommended it to me. It's definitely worth watching because it's like original writing. It feels lived in. It feels real. And sometimes it is good to be pushed out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, of course, we got the Charmed reboot. Debriefing week by week on this podcast, Mel, Jada, Nico, who knows what's going to happen next, but I'm thrilled that this reboot finally happened, that we got a stellar Latinx activist lesbian as a lead on the show, and like kind of like the quote-unquote big sister, even though she's the middle sister.
Because she was brought up as the big sister. So, I mean, I just really love the family dynamic in the show in general, and I love her as a character. I feel like, well, there's another character I want to compare her to, but we'll get there in a moment. So they did a really good job with this reboot. Unfortunately, and I've been keeping my fingers crossed for news, we don't know if it's going to be renewed for a second season yet. So,
yikes.
You know, I'm hoping it gets the support that it needs. But, you know, I guess that time has passed. It needed the support when it was airing.
I mean, I'm trying to watch it live. I watch it live with the commercial whenever possible. Even though I paid for the season on Amazon, like whatever it takes to get this show renewed, you know? I want to point out another show that just had its season 2 premiere at the end of December. So like this was not long after you and I recorded our last podcast episode, Marvel's Runaways.
We were a little bit late on that train.
Features a queer Asian badass superhero, and she's in a ship with another queer superhero on the show. And I don't want to give too much away because Amira, you haven't finished all of season 2.
I know. I'm sorry.
I know, but like the show is like well written. There are questions, but they get answered and then new questions come up. It's doing a lot of the things right that I feel like Black Lightning has been doing wrong, which is like world building and answering questions. Like if there's a mystery, I want some of it solved by the end of the season. And season 1 of Runaways didn't give us a whole lot of shipper content, but season 2 gives us more.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched all of season 1 and the first episode of season 2 so far, and I love it. Like you said in your warning to me, the kids do get a little annoying sometimes. And I was actually going to say Gert is a little bit annoying to me because I feel like like,
oh my God.
Yeah, she's massively annoying. Like the type of feminist that tends to give feminists a bad name. And I feel like the writers, I'm not really sure what their angle is with her, because sometimes her lines, I'm like, yeah, that's true. I could get behind that. But then I'm like, are they just reciting things that they see hashtag feminists writing on Twitter? Like, I don't know if the writers actually know the difference between, you know, something, I don't know. She just seems a little bit too much like a wannabe. So I was going to say before when we were talking about Mel, I feel like they're doing that kind of character right. Where like, you know, they've done the research. They know how activists actually think and what they believe.
Yes.
she sounds like one of us, you know.
I know.
But well, Gerd is a little, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the difference is that Mel is a former PhD student, and Gert is in high school. But and I texted this to you too. Like, Gert should have been queer, and Gert is definitely the activist who uses feminism to hide her underlying basicness, like her crush on Chase. But
yeah,
and also hilarious that you asked me if there were a lot of like hetero sex scenes, and I said, "Oh no, there aren't any sex scenes on the show." And then you texted me as you were watching season one, and you're like, there were multiple sex scenes.
Yeah, I was like, there were like three that I can think of off the top of my head. One that's repeated multiple times, like a snippet of it. But I mean, it's not a problem. It was just because you were like telling me about the queer ship, and you're like, yeah, there's no sex scene, but to be fair, nobody else gets a sex scene. And then I'm watching it, and I'm like,
I know
you censor out hetero nonsense when you watch things, but your censoring is a little bit too effective.
I know. Like, I literally could not recall any of the straight sex scenes from the show.
They haven't announced, it has been renewed, but they haven't announced when season three will start. It's probably going to be at the end of the year, though.
Yeah. I am very eager to debrief the Nico and Carolina ship with you.
Me too. After you've wrapped up. I'm mm-hmm. into it. Mm-hmm. So it's like a Gaijin. A blonde.
Gaijin invasion.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Gaijin representation. Some of it, I mean, you know, it could have been better, but I was actually really surprisingly impressed with how many Gaijin characters were on our screens this year.
I mean, we had Hayley Kiyoko. Yeah. You know, we have obviously Chantal Tui as Grace Choi on Black Lightning. And then we had Andy Allo, who played the, like, Anissa's, like, you know, side piece, also on Black Lightning. And then we got, like, Nico. We got double Nikos. We got Nico on Charmed and Nico on Marvel's Runaways.
Yes. So, Nico with a K and Nico with a C.
Mm-hmm. Killing Eve up in the air, whether, like, Sandra Oh's character is queer, but she is obsessed with another woman. And Sandra Oh's just the bomb. So
yeah, of course. I mean, she's just always worth mentioning, no matter what. Yeah, I was really happy with our selection of TV this year, and I think it can always be better. We're always going to complain, but I had ships, multiple ships. I felt like I had options of shows to watch. I mean, the fact that we have a whole list of shows we didn't watch, I think shows how far we've come in the queer fandom. That, you know, we're not just grasping at straws and finding any hint of queerness to watch. I mean, we have options. We have shows that have queerness and we're like, no thanks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, this is how straight people live. This is the good life.
This is exactly how straight people live. And then there are other shows that, you know, they're like B plot or C plot, and we don't have to deal with that if we don't want to, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so. Exactly. So there were also some notable queer movies last year. It's so weird also saying last year to refer to 2018. So I'm still getting used to it. I'm getting used to writing the 19, you know, when I write the date still. So yes, last year we had a number of pretty good movies to watch, not as many as I would have liked. And again, we're only really going over stuff that had queer women of color representation. A lot of queer films are still made really by, for, and about white people, white queers. So, you know, it's still queer rep. I'll take it, but
yeah.
We need to diversify it. And the period pieces, God, you can have a period piece with people of color. This is what I don't get. Mm. I can go on about that for ages, but you know, whatever.
Just as a little pushback, I loved Colette and I love The Favorite.
Oh, they're not bad movies by any means, but I feel like it's just like period piece equals white people. Like, white, you know, people. What I mean? It's going to be about totally white people. Right. Like, people of color weren't invented yet that year or something. It's just like, that's how they act when they write these movies and cast them. So,
yeah,
you know, shows what brown and black people were doing back then.
Yeah.
I don't know. They were around.
I mean, we already talked about The Feels, and we talked about Duck Butter on a previous podcast. Another movie to mention, directed by Desiree Akhavan, is The Miseducation of Cameron Post. And I didn't end up seeing that in theaters, but there's a queer character in that movie played by Sasha Lane, who is herself queer and who appeared in another queer women of color movie in 2018 also called Hearts Beat Loud.
Mm-hmm.
What? And Hearts Beat Loud is, it is definitely my pick of the year movie-wise, because Saoirse Ronan and Kiersey Clemons are both out queer women of color playing out queer women of color in this movie. I don't know if you want to spend a little bit of time talking about Hearts Beat Loud.
I mean, I don't know if I can spend only a little bit of time talking about this movie. I loved it. I mean, there's really not much I can say about it. I had like almost zero critiques, which, I mean, you know, for me, that's amazing. I recommend this movie to anybody who wants a feel good, you know, especially like, it's almost like teen coming of age, but it's coming of a different age than usual coming of age movies. You know, it's kind of like leaving the nest, you know, coming of age. And like, we're going to do an episode about this movie. We have to, because there's so much to go into, but it was beautifully filmed. It was beautifully acted, beautifully written. The songs in it also were beautiful. I can't say enough about it. It is absolutely definitively my favorite movie pick of 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you there. Like, I thought The Feels was a feel good movie, but Hearts Beat Loud is even better. Like, it's even more of a feel good movie than The Feels. Yeah. It's like, it's such a satisfying story. And the relationship between the two girls is so sweet and like sincere. We don't want to spoil what ends up happening in the movie, but it felt authentic. And I think that's why it was like heart healing and heartbreaking at the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful movie. Wow. Yeah. Definite pick for the year 2018. Next year, we're hoping to catch a movie called Rafiki, which getting that out must have been like the hardest thing ever. It's a film about lesbians in Kenya. And it was released in 2018, but we're expecting it to come into wider release this year in 2019.
Yeah. And it was originally, I believe when I saw in the news, it was originally banned in Kenya for the gay content. And then the ban was lifted. So that was like, you know, the big news that they got the movie out. But it looks really interesting to me. I feel like this is the kind of stuff that we've been like wishing for. Like, I want to see this level of diversity. Show me like a culture and people that I never see on screen. You know what I mean? And this is obviously authentic. It was made in Kenya by Kenyans, you know? It's not, you know, some white director's vision of, you know, what that would be like. So definitely want to catch this movie whenever possible.
So, okay, Amira, what would you say is your favorite queer women of color shipper moment from 2018? And maybe we can discuss what some of the contenders might be before we make a pick.
Yeah, so we had quite a few this year. We had Kadena on The Bold Type.
That premiere episode. The episode where Cunnilingus was featured, well, not featured, but, you know, implied.
It was featured. It was there. Yeah.
Implied.
That was a fantastic, fantastic episode. But, you know, the note they ended on, I mean, we're talking about moments, right? Not just the overall ship.
Moments.
Okay. Yeah.
That's got to be
so a high point. We'll focus on the good. We also had Thunder Grace on Black Lightning, which didn't give us a lot of content, but the content they gave was pretty good. I mean, Anissa's a smooth talker. There are a lot of butch dykey studs out there who are writing down those lines to use on future unsuspecting women at gay bars. So look out for them.
Oh my God. And then there are the Grace Troys of the world who are suckers for fuckboys.
I mean, what can you do? What can you do?
I know.
We also on Charmed got Melko, which ended, I think, a little prematurely. And then the future possibility of Maleda. So I don't know if either of those ships are developed enough to have, like, you know, a favorite moment that could compare to the other ones. But, you know, they're worth mentioning. They were ships that occurred.
I have a favorite moment that I'm not going to state on this podcast because it was on Marvel's Runaways and you haven't finished season 2.
God, I'm sorry.
No. But one of my top moments would be from an episode of Runaways, and if you've seen season 2, you probably know which one I'm talking about. But the other top pick I would say is the Cruz and Emma moment on Vita. Well, I have a couple of moments for them because like that night where they like almost hooked up was so hot. That was so hot watching them like flirt and dance all night and then be super rough with each other. Like Emma cannot be anything but a top.
Oh my God, I know.
But watching Emma apologize, get over her shit, and then go back to Cruz in the last episode of the season was a really beautiful moment. Like, it was so good to see Emma soften up. and to have Cruz be a part of that process.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about soft crema.
Soft crema. We got hard crema and soft crema.
And we loved it all. Okay, last but not least, we had Elena and Sid on One Day at a Time, where, you know, the show is a little chaste, so we don't get, you know, kinky scenes or but they're just so real to me that I really love their chemistry. I think one of my favorite moments with them was when Elena was trying to make herself seem more popular to impress Sid at the school dance. And then that moment when Sid was like, look, like, I like you because, you know, I like you for the way you are. And like, I'm like that too. And it just, I'm almost like tearing up thinking about it, because I just felt like it was so sweet and so sincere. And I just love when like people who feel like they need to be better than who they are to impress other people finally find someone who loves them for who they are. You know, it's a very special moment. And I feel like a lot of queer people can relate to that. So I feel like it was so well done. Like, that whole episode.
You know, what I would call a highlight actually is the me gay moment. The me, like, me gay too. And like, that was so goddamn awkward and beautiful.
God,
like,
it was.
Watching them just be such nerds together. They're just so cute. Like, that's a highlight. Like, and like, that is a meme, okay? Like, the me gay moment. That was a moment. So that is a highlight for me. That also the moment where, like, clearly Elena doesn't, like, is afraid to be intimate or be physically affectionate with Sid. Mm-hmm. And finally they kiss while they're out on the patio of the apartment. And how awkward it was, and how, like, you know, both of them wanted this thing, but they were both scared. That was adorable. That was really, really adorable.
They just had so many good moments.
I know. They had a lot of good
moments. I need to rewatch that season.
Right?
Before the third one, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you have a favorite? Do you think you can pick out of all of them?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Gosh. So, like, with Elena and Sid, I would say, like, well, all of the moments were great. I think I would actually have to say the soft crema moment is my favorite queer women of color shipper moment. And the hard crema stuff was great too. Not, like, let's not pretend it was hot. But the soft crema moment was really great because you got to see our lead character, Emma, like, open up through her interactions with Cruz.
I agree. Yeah. If I had to pick a favorite, I mean, I think my favorite ship is Elena and Sid.
Yes, of
which
course.
I'm like, Selena? Like, I want like a shipper name. We also need one for Nico and Carolina on Runaways, by the way.
Sorry, it's Dinoru. Because Carolina Dean and Nico Minoru.
Dinoru. Oh, their last names. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they use the last name. Because I looked into it, and the actresses themselves use the Dinoru.
Got it. I was going to say, that one should hashtag. Already be established, so we should just look it up. But you already did. Thank you. Okay, the Kadena moment with the cunnilingus stuff, but that was a great moment, but it was also sort of, you know, spread out across the episode. If I have to pick a favorite ship moment from all of these ships, it would still be Elena and Sid at the school dance.
Wow.
For sure.
Oh my God.
I'm picking it for personal reasons because I felt, it was a very feel good. I felt like it really resonated with me, and it was something that, like, I felt like was good for, like, young queer people. Like, it's something that I wish that I could have seen when I was that age. You know what I mean? Yeah, I just loved it. I mean, you know, I'm a softie. What can I say?
Yeah, no, you absolutely are. You're a softie and you like feel good stuff. And that's why both of us are Xena fans.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, wow. What a year. I mean, it wasn't a great year in other things, but in TV, I can say I was satisfactory. Yeah. That's the grade that I'm giving.
Yeah. And you know, thinking about all the shipper moments that we just sort of recapped, it really covers the whole spectrum. It covers, like, you know, soft awkwardness all the way to, like, hard, hot sex between women and cunnilingus. And then, like, in between that sort of murky area of, like, hookups, fuckboys, like, breakups, you know, breakups. You're like frenemies with this other witch, you know, like,
right? Like non-monogamy and Kadena. Yeah,
and then, like, also, like, queer women with superpowers. They're like obviously Thunder Grace and Dinoru. So, you know, we, like, a lot of different communities represented. A lot of, I guess, You can even say we've got different species represented because Caroline is not human. So
So, I mean, I feel like, and remember, I mean, we're just covering ships that involve queer women of color. So if we expanded this to, you know, even white queer people, we got even more representation.
Oh my God.
So I think it's phenomenal that we got all of this, you know, diversity within just.
Yeah. I just feel really grateful that we got as much as we did. And like, personally, I'm really grateful for like the sheer number of. And my sheer number, it's still less than five, but like sheer number of Gaysians we got.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's five more than we had, you know, however many years ago. So
that is true.
It's still very impressive. And I think in a time when Asian women are just a white guy's fetish.
Yeah.
Like if that is, like that's the normal representation, I think this is like, wow, like come a long way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Still a long way to go though.
I know. There can always be more.
Like, there can always be more.
You know that quote Ruth Bader Ginsburg gave in an interview?
Yes.
She's like,
when
there
are nine.
Yeah, when there are nine women, how many women will be enough when there are nine of them? That's kind of how I feel about queer women of color. Like, when will it be enough? How about when all of them? All of them are queer women of color. That's when it'll be enough. You got to make up for lost time.
I agree. I mean, I remember after the L Word ended and there was talks of the very first time there were talks of like a reboot, or I remember Jennifer Beals talking about it and saying like, you know, we thought we were starting something and that there would be a bunch of other shows like it after the L Word ended, but still years later, that's the only show we have with a predominantly queer cast. And that's not even queer women of color. I mean, there are a few, but that's still all we have in terms of mostly queer women in the show.
Stuff to look forward to in 2019. Well, we've got stuff to look forward to just this month. We've got Brooklyn Nine-Nine premiering season 6 on NBC this week on January 10th. And then we've got Black Lightning coming back January 21st. And then, of course, Charmed will be coming back January 20th. Yeah. And then we've got One Day at a Time in February. Like, and obviously you and I have to recap Hearts Beat Loud. And I can't wait for you to finish season 2 of Marvel's Runaways.
So I can't wait either. Too. It should be by the end of the week. We have time, but still, I would love to do a recap about Marvel's Runaways.
All right. So look out for that this month. Again, just to reiterate our thank you earlier for an amazing first 6 months of this podcast. Thank you for tuning in and for being supporters and for being my therapy.
No pressure, but.
Yeah, no.
You're all collectively her therapist.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, and be sure to follow us on Twitter. At QWOC Ship to stay tuned for updates on our next episodes and subscribe to us on Anchor or iTunes.
All right. Thank you, 2018. And thank you to all of you. Bye.
Bye.